Hey, you got the morning show here on Raglan Community Radio, and we're going to turn now to our guest, Siani. Good morning.
Kia ora.
So Siani's here to talk about those people, the Whangaroa Neurodivergent Artist Exhibition happening in the basement of the community house,
is it? Yes, it is.
Yeah, and that's happening during Labour Weekend, during the Arts Weekend. Do you want to describe, actually the thing we're talking about off the air is, what is neurodivergent? Like, we hear the term, and we probably know someone who says they are, but it's quite a wide-ranging thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So can you kind of give us a lowdown on that?
Yeah, sure. It's being neurodivergent is basically just not having a brain that is what fits within normal, air quotes. Yeah. And it's huge. It's a big umbrella term, and it includes things like autism, Down syndrome, PTSD, because it can come from, you know, things which affect you in life,
yeah.
Colour blindness, ADHD. Okay. Did I say ADHD?
Not yet.
ADHD. Basically, I could just go on and on. And it's here's a definition from Yellow Ladybugs, which has been shared, which is a person who's living with a neurodivergent brain. A person whose brain does not differ from the statistical norm and falls within what society deems typical or more common, and that is a neurotypical. And then we'll go to, I'm going to, technical issue here.
We're scrolling.
Yep. Sorry, guys. I'll carry on anyway. The link will be on the Those People page if people want to deep dive into it. But basically, it's just anything that doesn't fall within that realm of neurotypical.
Yeah.
So it's just brains that work differently and have a different way of doing the world.
Yeah.
It's probably that's the simplest thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I guess within what's air quotes neurotypical as well, there's a lot of variation within that. And I imagine, again, we were talking off the air, and I was like, some of what you're describing sounds like people. I know people who would be called neurotypical, but they probably feel like they vibe with that a little bit as well, like feelings of. Well, actually, I'll let you talk about it. We'll get into that in a bit, I think. But the exhibition, let's just talk about the exhibition, when, where, and why.
Okay, all the really important stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so it's downstairs, as you said, in the Raglan Community House meeting room or basement, as people are more familiar with it.
Yeah.
They have generously given us that space to do this pop-up, so ups to them for supporting neurodivergent people within Whangaroa. And it's running from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the day, just for the public. If you're somebody who needs a quieter space to view the artwork, you can get in touch with us via Facebook, and we can organise a quieter viewing time for you outside of those hours. And it is neurodivergent people who identify with being neurodivergent showing themselves to the world, which can sometimes be really scary. So with this casual pop-up alongside what's happening in Whangaroa this weekend, it gives us the opportunity to present these artists without the spotlight being on them, which can sometimes be very dramatic for somebody who...
Yeah. I mean, there will be a lot of people in Raglan and Whangaroa for the weekend. We know that from previous years. And you're not open all day, every day, are you?
No, we're open from 10 till 3.
Yeah.
And we're doing that Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And the idea with that is that we do have space each at the beginning and the end of each day if people do want to come and have a quieter time viewing the artwork. And
so that's okay for neurodivergent art lovers as well.
Yep, absolutely. We're trying to do something that's going to accommodate most people. So, and if we're not accommodating you, just get in touch and we'll find a way to make it happen. Because everybody's needs are so different. Because we're talking about an umbrella term for the artists as well as for the public, we're trying to be as user-friendly as possible. So it's the same with the artists. We're not screwing anybody down to have an artist statement or do a proposal or to commit entirely. So artists, if they feel like they want to be part of it, or there's a person who self-identifies with some of those things along the neurodivergent spectrum, you can just drop in tonight at 3 o'clock to the basement and we'll accept your artwork and we'll make it work within the space that we've been given.
Okay. And so, because I asked you how many artists there would be, and you're kind of like, maybe five, but
could be more,
could be less, depending on how people are
feeling.
Yeah, how they're feeling. Yeah,
yeah. And that's good. I mean, we should be able to work with the flow of where people are at. And unfortunately, in most structured kind of art institutions,
yeah,
those flexibilities aren't available. There are some galleries which are really deep diving into this and trying to make their spaces more welcoming. And but it's very fringe at the moment, and it's still something that's evolving.
Mm, but I can see, yeah, you're making it like it's just soft around the edges. You can come and go when you want, and you can make a decision last minute.
Yep.
Well, it's just a very Raglan thing.
I know. I think I look around. I think, oh, maybe we're a neurodivergent, dense population.
Yeah, yeah, just a whole community, really.
Yeah.
Does it also? I'm intrigued. Does it come out in neurodivergence again? Except it's we're talking about an umbrella term, but does it come out in the art or?
I believe it does. I mean, people, all the people that I've met who are neurodivergent,
yeah,
they're always going somewhere with it, and they're always expressing themselves. And of course, yeah, that brain's going to, you know, churn things over in a different way. Hey, I was teaching a kid once art, and he was colorblind, and nobody told me, which was a great thing. And this teacher came in and said to him, the bark is meant to be brown and the sky is meant to be blue and a tree is a stalk with green stuff on top of it. So my little heart broke, and this kid had done this amazing picture with this violet sky and all these other things going on. And even though he's colorblind, he's still seeing the tones of those things, because we all know when we turn something into black and white, or something, there's still different tonal variations. So he was making really good choices about what he wanted to create. But
also, it's art. There's no rules, right?
No. Well, apparently when you go to school, there is.
It does happen sometimes, I know. There's lots of great art teachers out there, but also clearly there's also some who aren't.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things we want to support. We want people to know, okay, we're going to see something different because I'm expecting a sky to be blue, and here we go, here's a violet one. And that's because the neurodivergent brain saw something in there that they wanted to express. So I do think it comes out in the art. For myself, as a practicing artist, I'm always, what's next? What's new? You know,
okay.
Technology, the technology's afforded me this.
So how do you describe yourself as a neurodivergent person?
I am a AU ADHD woman.
Yeah.
And that's the
AU ADHD?
Yes.
What's that, AU?
AU is autism.
Okay,
I'm a high-functioning autist.
Right, yeah, it's not immediately apparent at all.
I know.
But
brings me to another thing,
masking. Most of my knowledge about autism is based on what I see on TV, so that's not really actually very helpful, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people who are neurodivergent are amazing at is a thing called masking.
Yeah.
And I'm a pro.
Right.
Absolute pro.
Yeah.
And it's where we present to the world what the people that we're around need to see or want to see.
Yeah.
At great cost to ourselves, because that's exhausting trying to be something that you're not 24/7.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's common. So this is another thing with doing what we're doing. You don't have to mask with us. If you need to stim in front of us because something is stressful, you know, whatever it is, that's cool. You know, that you're not going to be looked at sideways you know, so it's a comfortable space for artists to be accepted.
Yeah, yeah. I think, and we were like everyone through the whole spectrum of neurotypical and neurodivergent, we're all carrying our issues, and sometimes we interpret someone else's behaviour as meaning something for us. And I imagine a lot of neurodivergent people, that's where they get caught out or stuck or however you want to describe it, is someone's thinking, this means something about me. And it's nothing to do with us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't know from time to time. Like, I feel like that. Like, if someone doesn't be open and friendly with me, I think, oh, something's up.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. I know.
And it might, yeah. And there's so many reasons that have got nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
But
personal experience with someone who's really close to me, who's far more down the autism rabbit hole than I am.
Yeah.
And because they are nonverbal a lot of the time, and they are withdrawn a lot of the time, even in workspaces, I've had concerned people come to me and say, look, they really need to do something about their personal skills because everybody thinks that they hate, you know, that he hates the team.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's kind of like, well, actually, it's not that. It's just that he doesn't know how to approach you yet. He doesn't feel like he's part of the group yet, you know, still finding their way. Mm. And yeah, like you said, it's, everybody takes it personal when it's actually just that person's. But because it's not safe in a lot of work environments to actually share what your neurodivergence is, people, like you say, take it personally, and the person who is that way doesn't have the support they need to actually become integrated.
Yeah, and I mean, most of us don't feel safe, and there's a lot of work environments where most people don't feel safe sharing anything about themselves anyway. So, yeah, I completely understand where that's coming from. I also, I imagine that you talk about masking and like hiding who you are by kind of by choice. That would give a lot more desire to express things through art, I imagine.
Yeah, because you need to vent it. You need to get it out there. And one of the things I've always been interested in is actually using art as the therapeutic tool. And lots of people do, but it's that thing of just expressing yourself in a way, getting it out.
Yeah.
And art not being art for sale or art that goes on a wall, but art that's just actually there to support you emotionally.
Yeah, which, I mean, art isn't just about being for sale or about, and it's never just for the viewer.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of people get caught up, oh, you're doing art classes and all the rest of it, you know, when are we going to see your work? And it's kind of like, no, this is just my processing time.
Yeah, I actually burnt some of the stuff.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's, and you know, I just want to keep it in my diary.
I don't know if people do, but.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely they do. That whole tortured artist burning all their work, totally real, but not tortured. Just, I mean, people look at it as if you're a tortured artist if you're burning your work. No, actually, it's just part of that letting go process. You know, I've been through this, I've done this, it's gone now.
Yeah, I think Van Gogh is probably the most famous example of that.
And
maybe he was a neurodivergent character. Actually seems pretty likely from what little I know.
Yeah, exactly. And for him, that might have just been a way of letting go of that time in his life, whereas everybody sees it as this destructive, awful thing, where actually it could have been a really healing thing for him. We don't know.
But also, this is kind of a terrible thing to say, but it might also be that that's what produced the great art, was the torture.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's not a nice thought.
I also think it's a myth. It's a comfortable myth for a lot of people, like a trope.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Mm. It's an easy reference point. It may not necessarily be true.
Exactly.
And we won't ever know.
Yeah. Just because I, you know, neurotypical, don't understand that behaviour.
Yeah.
So I'm going to categorise that behaviour as tortured artist because that's a really nice little thing that I can put on it and quantify it and box it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the thing with labels too, you know, sometimes they're helpful and sometimes they're not.
Yeah. Are neurodivergent people more in touch with that creative, like we talked about how they might have more to say, more to express, but are neurodivergent people more in touch with that creative source?
Like it depends on where your brain's at, doesn't it? Like, I mean, all the neurodivergent people I know are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all are.
They might be self-selecting because of who you are.
Exactly, exactly. And so it's, you know, it's just not a thing. I don't think you could actually put a finger on it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of all the people who've lived their lives straight down the middle and become managers and kind of squashed some aspects of themselves to be good at being at their job and lose touch with their creative side. Yeah, I don't really know either.
It's one of the great mysteries of the world. Like, where do socks go?
where do socks go, and where does my creativity come from?
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about what media, what type of art that we're getting with the exhibition.
Everything and anything. It just depends. Like, what we've done is we've made it, the artists can be self-selecting.
Yeah.
So we're not curating, because this is about Whangaroa neurodivergent artists saying g'day.
Yeah.
Saying hello.
Right.
So we haven't put any constrictions on anybody.
So you'll find out whether it's painting or sculpture or what have you when it turns up.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. It is designed to be a classic, good old fashioned pop up. Not a person, you know, not one of these pop up stores are actually permanent stores, but we, you know,
call it a pop up.
Call it a pop up. This is actually a legit pop up in every way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, folks, we're talking about those people, Whangarei neurodivergent artists. Why did you call it those people?
Interesting story. So, I was at a public meeting with a good deal of people who are in senior places in arts management in Whangarei.
Yeah.
And I was asking about, you know, what are you doing to support neurodivergent artists?
Oh, no, somebody said those people.
And the person who was leading the meeting and who was in charge of this whole organisation said, it's okay, we have a couple of hours put aside for those people.
Right.
So I thought, do you know what? Lots of other, you know, people who have been marginalised take these derogatory terms or othering.
Turn them around.
And turn them around. So that's why I thought, oh my God, this is just the most fantastic gift. And I'm going to run with it. Those people is excellent. So we can, you know, walk into it and...
Yeah, cool. That's cool. So, yeah. So the exhibition is in the basement of the Community House, 26th to the 28th. And the hours again, Siani?
10 till 3.
10 till 3. Okay. And it's going to be a quiet, gentle place.
Yeah.
For all concerned.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the whole idea. It's come as you are.
Yeah.
And be who you are. And that's all that, you know, that's all that you have to do. Just be you.
And are we talking about the drop-in as well?
Yeah, the drop-in. So the drop-in for the artists, if you've got any work that you want to share with our community and the greater public and do it in a way which is comfortable and gentle for you. Oh, big ups to the person who's going to be manning the show for us, which is Steve Murray.
Yeah.
And he's done some work with the chamber and things around here. So he's going to be manning the exhibition for us because it's really hard because sometimes as artists we're actually asked to take turns at being, you know, the front of an exhibition. And it's kind of like, you can't ask a neurodivergent person to do that. Some are extroverted, but a lot of the ones I've met, just that's way too much to ask somebody.
Yeah.
So automatically you're excluded from an exhibition because you can't actually do that part of what you're being asked to. So Steve Murray is going to be manning it for us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, and he's got extensive experience in the arts. He's been a gallery owner and so he knows how to look after art, represent art, and hopefully if we make any sales all the artists get 100% of their profits. There's no 40%
nice.
commission.
Nice. Yeah, because of the Community House
and, yep, and the Community
volunteer
House
run.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So Siani was choosing our music before the interview. We had a couple of country songs, and it is the Country and Blues Festival this weekend as well as the Arts Weekend. What's the next one we're going to play? Did we play Shake the Frost?
No, we haven't. Oh, yeah.
Should we play that?
Oh, he's got the most beautiful voice.
So this is Tyler Childers. Is that how we say it?
I think so. And I think he's going to be doing a gig in New Zealand early next year.
Okay. Did we play that one?
Yeah, we played A Song in a Car by Yesterday's Wine.
Okay, and I've hovered over this. I'm getting these songs off YouTube. I hovered over it, so now I have to open it.
Yep.
So we get the proper start of the song. Thank you for coming, Siani.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.